Sound Pages is a literary series featuring resident artists in the Jack Straw Writers Program.
Why have I spent the past 30 years working as a nurse with homeless and marginalized people? Would I be happier and able to afford a better pair of shoes if I was drawn to work as a shoe buyer for Saks Fifth Avenue?
This program features the work of 2013 writer Josephine Ensign. Curator Stephanie Kalis spoke with her in an interview.
I write to understand what's going on with me. I like Rita Sharon's statement. She's the kind of the mother of narrative medicine, that you don't understand something fully until you write it. And I would add that in a lot of cases, especially my case, that you don't experience something fully until you write it and share it with other people. I call what I do more narrative advocacy work, helping to kind of educate and expose the public, maybe where we should be going as a society, I mean, of reflecting on, you know, who we are, how that's reflected through our healthcare system and our choices, and how we might be able to change that for the better.
Now we'll hear a selection from Josephine's live reading.
So this essay is part of a collection of poetry and prose that I'm currently working on that's called Soul Stories, the stories that feet can tell about the journey of homelessness. One Sunday this past June, the sole of my right foot split in two, weeping amber juices like an overripe nectarine. The split occurred while I was standing in the New York City Library on Fifth Avenue, leaning over a display case and reading passages from Mary Shelley's Journal of Sorrow. Her once private leather-bound journal was open, revealing pages of sepia-colored handwriting. It was late afternoon, and I was taking a break from walking the length of Manhattan. I'd started in Lower Manhattan at the filled-in crater of the former Twin Towers, then walked north through a children's street fair in Washington Park and up Fifth Avenue toward my monk cell at Union Theological Seminary in Morningside. I wore a pair of black rubber flip-flops, not good walking equipment, for my long afternoon trek. I savored being alone, not lonely, on the bustling streets of Manhattan, swept along in the river of people. A furious thunderstorm erupted when I passed the Empire State Building. As the first hard, scattered raindrops fell on the sidewalk, their steam redolent of rusty iron, I realized I had no umbrella. So I hurried past the stone lions, up the external marble stairs, and ducked inside the library, where there was an exhibit, Shelley's Ghost. The exhibit was in a small, dimly lit room on the main floor of the library. There were only a few other people inside, along with a silent guard standing by the door. The room had the hushed, reverential air of cathedrals. I walked around the exhibit several times, drawn back to Mary's journal. Although it felt unseemly to read parts of her private grief, to peer into the written wound splayed open, I stood beside it, mesmerized. Thunder rumbling through the cavernous library, accompanied by a searing pain in my right foot, startled me out of my reverie. I felt as if I had been struck by lightning or seared by the hot coal of hell. Surrounded by Frankenstein, Gothic relics, and hair jewelry, anything was possible. I gasped from the pain, causing the guard to glower at me. Discreetly, I glanced down at my foot and saw that my soul had a gaping hole diagonally through the instep. In Western medical parlance, I had a ruptured subepidural friction bulla, or a partial thickness blister. In Eastern medical parlance, I had a wounded solar plexus chakra. Whatever it was called, it hurt. Suddenly, being alone in the middle of Manhattan felt lonely. I considered taking a taxi back to my room at the seminary where I was staying, but decided I could tough it out, walk back, and save money. After the storm had passed, I limped outside, then through puddles of floating refuse, gully-washed into crosswalks, and past homeless people pushing compact shopping carts piled with tattered garbage bags stuffed with possessions. The recent hard rain intensified the miasma, emanating from the pavement and from the crush of damp, soured bodies. I wondered, what assortment of exotic germs of diseases from around the world What sloughed off skin cells from people, rats, pigeons, and poodles I was absorbing through my open wound. To distract myself from the pain and futile germ phobia, I pondered questions that had been flashing through my head like an existential version of the NASDAQ sign in Times Square. Why am I attracted to the suffering of others? What draws me to the pain, to the flowing juices of the wounded body? Why have I spent the past 30 years working as a nurse with homeless and marginalized people? Would I be happier and able to afford a better pair of shoes if I was drawn to work as a shoe buyer for Saks Fifth Avenue? The latter question occurred to me as I was hobbling past the wrought iron festoon display windows of Saks' flagship store. I was in New York for a week to attend the Narrative Medicine Advanced Workshop at Columbia University's College of Physicians and Surgeons. We were there to learn about ways to incorporate the stories of health, healing, and the human condition into our work. As a writing prompt, we were asked to write about the last real thing that happened to you. My last real thing had occurred the week before during my work in Seattle. I teach health policy to nursing students at the University of Washington. Together with colleagues in the schools of medicine and dentistry, I help train and precept groups of medical, nursing, and dental students in the provision of basic foot and dental care for homeless people. The week before my New York trip, we had done one of these teeth and toes clinics at Seattle's largest homeless shelter. The shelter is in the downtown core of Seattle, at the bottom of the original Skid Road, which earned its name from the frontier town Cedar Logs, public inebriates, and gold rush prostitutes that all rolled downhill together into the mudflats and saltwaters of Puget Sound. The front door to the shelter is at street level and opens onto a bare concrete staircase, going up to the second floor where the shelter services are located. Entering the building, I was hit by the smell of a horse stable, something hay sweet mixed with urine and feces. The smell took me back to my work at the Sumerian warehouse of the Richmond Street Center in Virginia, where I began my work with homeless people in the 1980s, and where I rolled down my own version of Skid Road and was homeless for 6 months. As this was not a time or a place I much wanted to revisit, the smell that hit me when I entered the Seattle shelter was revolting. Later that evening, as I inspected various scars or open wounds on the homeless client's feet, my mantra to them became, "What happened here?" Some people had simple replies, such as, "I was in a bad car accident a year ago." Others were more complex. One patient was a hugely obese woman dressed in a stained orange t-shirt, stretched over sagging, braless breasts, her short red hair flying away from florid, puffy cheeks. She stared at the ceiling while mumbling to herself, as if in prayer, her hands held in front of her neck, fluttering. I had the impression she was trying to catch hold of her exposed and scattered soul. Her only reply, while still looking at the ceiling and twitching her hands even faster, was, "I get nervous with too many questions." Sitting next to her in a gray metal folding chair was a thin middle-aged white man, drawn into a frayed down vest, a military-style green cap on his head. He spit out at me, "It's a freak show here. I'm disabled. I've got depression. That's why I'm here with all these freaks." Bitter, he was devouring himself in an endless loop like an abortive Ouroboros. The blown-apart woman and the spitting man are parts of myself I'm still earning compassion for. They're parts of myself I would not likely meet as a shoe buyer for Saks Fifth Avenue. I made it back to my New York Seminary monk room later that Sunday. After I'd washed my wounded foot thoroughly in the bathtub, I sat on my white Spartan bed and contemplated the split in my soul, deciding how best to help it heal. As I looked at the eye-shaped gaping hole weeping blush-colored saltwater from my body, I memorized Percy Shelley's poem fragment, "I Love All Waste." The poem was on a pocket card takeaway from the library exhibit. The foot wound and the poem, Together they seem to hold answers to the existential questions plaguing me. Part of what draws me to my work is the expansive sense of connection with other people, with myself, and with the world. It is the desire to connect with some wound deep inside and to seek soul health. As the philosopher Martha Nussbaum states, perhaps we cannot easily live with too much vivid awareness of the fact that we are made of sticky and oozy substances that will all too soon decay. I would add, perhaps we cannot fully live without such awareness.
Sound Pages is a Jack Straw production. The 2013 curator of this program is Stephanie Kalis. This episode of Sound Pages was produced by Mo Preventure. Recording engineers are CJ Lazenby, Tom Stiles, Mo Preventure, and Steve DeTore. Narrator is Christine Brown. And executive director of Jack Straw Productions is Joan Rabinowitz. Theme music by the Seattle Jazz Composers Ensemble, produced through the Jack Straw Artist Support Program. The Jack Straw Writers Program is made possible with support from the City of Seattle Office of Arts and Culture, 4 Culture King County Lodging Tax Fund, the Washington State Arts Commission, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Paul G. Allen Family Foundation, Arts Fund, and individual contributors. All of the writers heard in this series are published in the Jack Straw Writers Anthology, available for purchase and featured online at jackstraw.org. Thank you for listening.